Welcome to Xeno Attribute, a Primary Attribute Industries subsidiary, by which I mean spinoff. My name is Wit, and I will be the game master for this story, using Mothership by Tuesday Night Games. I use he, him pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I'm playing as Paul. We both use he, him pronouns. Paul is our blue man in the engine tube right now. And shut up, I'm working on it.
My name's Ian. I use they, them pronouns. And I play Dr. Lachlan Ray, who uses he, him pronouns. And Dr. Ray is currently just waiting for those engines to be fixed because there's not much that he can do.
I'm working on it!
Work harder, you get.
Work smarter, not harder?
Didn't roll for smarter.
And sorry, Tricon's company policy is working harder.
Yeah. I'm Kells. I use mostly he, him pronouns. I'm playing as Spencer Oz Osman. He also uses mostly he, him pronouns, but a different mostly. He's our security officer, ex-Marine, and he is currently walking around with the spray foam gun, helping patch little holes in the hull and things like that, and waiting for further instruction, I think. He's pretty interested in, well, we'll get into that later.
Go on.
And I'm Moss. I use they, them pronouns. I play Demir, who uses any pronouns. My shoulder hurts today because I got my booster yesterday, and Demir's elbow hurts today because he got it wongled.
Demir's an android and our XO.
And keeps its viruses up to date at all times.
Its viruses?
Antivirus.
Demir's really big on Demir's really big on cyber warfare, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. You might be infected. Go see Dr. McAfee.
Is he eating his own dick?
Yep. Anyway.
Adam knows the highly specific joke I was making.
Honestly, just read any Wikipedia entry about McAfee.
Yeah, he's die. Like,
yes.
You're gonna learn about the world around you.
Anyway.
Alright, Kells, would you like to do our recap?
I'd love to. Previously on Xeno Attribute, we were sent to the Fomalhaut system where we intended to resupply and do a pickup run to a mining outpost on a planetoid, but having exited hyperspace there, we found that the planetoid A, which is the site of that mining outpost, had broken off from the rest of its destroyed planet and was headed on a parabolic route out of the system. It had on its way collided with asteroids and other planetoids and caused a field of dangerous debris headed for our ship. We attempted to deflect and destroy the largest pieces of debris and angle the ship to burn off the remainder in our engine output. We weren't able to completely reduce the debris, so it resulted in our engines being disabled and some damage to the hull and cargo, but nothing else critical. During that maneuver, we asked Hypodyne, which is our competitor with a small listening station in the outer asteroid belt, to assist in the rescue of the mining outpost personnel, but Admin Paid of the local space station that's owned by our corporation, Tricont, is furious with us for authorizing Hypodyne to land. The rest of the station personnel explained that the station had deployed a shuttle to try to save the miners when the planetoid first broke off, but the shuttle was attacked and destroyed by the Yormagander, which is a ship that showed up a few days ago and belongs to Voidcom, which is like anti-space colonization Greenpeace. The people on board this one seem to be more in the eco-terrorist extremist branch of it. We are right now trying to repair our ship, and we're planning to try to reach Planetoid A before Hypodyne has to get involved. But meanwhile, Yormagander is hiding somewhere in the asteroid fields, and the cause of the planetoid's detachment is still unknown.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Look.
Thank you.
All right. So.
I love having a job. Yeah.
And with that, Paul is wiping the grease from his hands, and that seems to be all done.
All right.
This is the sound of Paul doing that.
The hull is still in bad shape. It is still damaged. You're not leaking, but the damage is still there.
Sure. Not about to win any beauty contests.
But the engines are functional again. Cool. They are not in great shape. They are patched together. Speed checks will need to be made at penalty or at a disadvantage until you can do more thorough repairs.
Never going so well before.
What are we going to need to do thorough repairs? Is that just more time, or do we need to dock someplace?
More time. It would probably be like a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
You can work on it while in flight some, but you will also need to stop for parts of it because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't duck your face into the thruster.
Exactly. Definitely don't do that. Don't put a tool in there. Don't put a hand in. Keep everything away from the output.
Hands and arms inside the cart at all times.
Yeah. And don't touch the active, capacitors and stuff, because they have a lot of energy in them.
They could be in flux.
Yeah. Anyway, docking at the space station would also be very beneficial.
Sure.
For fixing that.
Mm-hmm.
In short, though, you will be able to get it done pretty quickly here. It just depends on how much you devote to it.
Okay.
And I assume that the other crew members will work on it in downtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it will auto repair, even if you all ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the short term, you can move. You will be able to catch up with the planetoid if that's the way you want to head.
That seems like it should be our priority. I don't think going to the space station has any benefit.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could kind of run the over and under on should we dock and just finish repairing so we can definitely make it to the planetoid, or do we not want to waste that time? It sounds like we don't need to.
We could also away team ourselves and have some people stay back and fix the engines.
Could, yeah.
I'm still really concerned about the fact that there's creeps with shuttle-destroying missiles.
Yeah, that's troubling too. Chaz speaks up and says, excuse me. I don't know where I went with that.
I'm losing confidence in this captain already.
Jesus, that was wit there. That was just
on the comm and goes, well, and then just stops.
Totally a brain fart on wit's part. That's, ooh.
Well, time for Demir and I to do an arm wrestle and decide who's captain now. It's going
to
be great.
She says, we absolutely need to keep an eye on that those interlopers. If they move, if they do anything, if you actually spot them, let me know immediately. In the meantime, I think that we should...
Should we try to talk to them?
Should we try talking to them?
Yeah.
We could. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know how far you'll get. They don't seem friendly.
I don't feel like we can make that situation worse, though.
Certainly not.
I don't know if they're open to rational discourse at this point.
Well, let's not take that tack. Let's call them names. I don't know.
Ooh.
We could invite them to explain themselves.
We could. There's a lot of things we could do there. I'm not opposed to it. I'm certainly well open to that. But I think we need to be absolutely prepared for them to attack, though.
Mm-hmm.
My inclination is to head straight to the planetoid, though I'm open to your suggestions. If we head there now, we should be able to arrive well before the party from Hypodyne, which would be beneficial, especially in smoothing things over with the station administrator.
Yep.
Yeah. I also definitely don't think I should be on the station with the station administrator at this point in time.
I don't think he's going to murder you.
I just think that maybe there will be heightened emotions.
Sure.
And I'm not going to help with that.
Captain speaks up and says, well, here's the thing. Here's where it gets a little tricky. So the station administrator and I are roughly on par in terms of rank in the company.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible for the things on the station and in the mining colony.
Mm.
I am responsible for the ship and for our mission here, which is to resupply, assist, and stabilize anything that's wrong in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we aren't wrong to make decisions and just do them. Although it gets into a little bit of nitty gritty with the corporate rule book, as it were. We're not wrong, but we could get in trouble for it anyway.
Terrible news. We should definitely go to the planetoid.
Yeah, I was going to say, all due respect, I don't have to fly home with admin pay, so I don't really care what he has to say.
That's absolutely true. And, that's for us to sort out later.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a ask forgiveness, not permission.
I'm great at that.
Yeah.
We know.
We know. We all know. All right.
What did he do to you?
It's okay. They forgave me.
There's one incident at a Christmas party, and no one lets Oz live it down.
I've been forgiven.
Went to Tricont Confessional.
I just put the like puppy eyes emoji in the company chat enough times that they were just like, okay, fine, stop.
We'll forgive you if you stop doing that.
Yeah, conditionally.
All right, it sounds like you're going to head towards the planetoid then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we raise them on comms?
Yes. Yes. You sent a message to them already and got a brief, like, you know, confirmation back from them, but you didn't really have a conversation.
Yeah.
But yes, you can absolutely raise them on comms. who's the main? I mean, you can all be on it.
Sure.
Okay. So they answer. Two people pop up on the bad grainy TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
One is a redheaded fellow who has kind of, you know, equal length beard and hair. Both are kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
gives him kind of a lion's mane sort of look, especially mm-hmm. the bright red. Mm-hmm. And the other is a black woman wearing a like a space headscarf, mm-hmm. like for zero G. It leaves the whole face
built in elastic stuff.
Glasses, and both of them look pretty serious, but are mm-hmm. are glad to be on the call with you all. They introduce themselves. The woman says, "My name is Dr. Dowra. I'm the Tricont planetologist here." The other guy kind of gives a nod, wave, and says, "And I'm Chief Cody. I'm the crew chief here." There's about 40 of us on here. Not sure exactly. Some people got separated during the rapid change in direction.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might be elsewhere on the planetoid as well. There could be as many as 50.
Do you know how many you're supposed to have?
50.
Okay. There we go.
I'm going to break in as well and just ask, what is the... Do y'all still have atmosphere over there, or...?
We do. We do. Although it's as we are moving away, we have stopped rotating, so one side is getting very cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we that's also the side that should have our solar panels on it. Mm. So we are running on battery power right now.
Oof.
Gotcha.
How long have you got on battery at current rates?
A couple days.
And what sort of injuries are you dealing with? I assume there's many.
Well, a sudden change in acceleration and direction really threw some people pretty hard against walls. We have a lot of trauma and broken bones, lacerations from things that broke. That's most of it. A few people who were stuck outside for a little too long before they could crawl back to base have hypothermia or frostbite.
Sure.
But none of that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
In general, everyone who's still alive and on the planetoid is pretty safe and stable at the moment, as far as I can tell.
Mm.
But we don't know how long that's going to last.
All right.
Any clue what caused all this? Even an inkling?
Guess? They kind of look at each other like they've had this argument a bunch.
Okay.
And they both like kind of purse their lips. And like, Dr. Dowra says, well, I think it was either a collision with another asteroid that just knocked us out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we are moving so fast if that's the case, but that seems the most likely situation. The other alternatives, in my view, she is very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be a ploy either by Hypodyne or these Void Calm folks.
All right, so that's Scully. What does Mulder think?
Mulder, by which I mean Crew Chief Cody, says, and I, in my opinion, think that it's those strange alien ruins.
Okay.
The Lisei came here, they tried to mine this place, and then they left and made a whole bunch of temples.
temples, you say.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Not clear on why that would cause the planetoid to detach, but it is interesting information.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Well, they're aliens, aren't they? They got weird technology. They know more than we do about how the universe works and everything.
And yeah. I mean, you don't normally build a bunch of temples for everything is normal here.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Internally, your approval fills me with shame.
Wait a second. Are you from the old country by your voice?
Oh, no.
Fokikati.
Which old country? It's a lot of old countries. Yeah,
this guy's a little more Irish than Scottish, but, you know.
And we all got invaded by the English.
The Scottish Confederation.
Yes. Despite my voice.
Yeah, same here.
Not to discount the alien ruins hypothesis, but Pei said that he thought Hypodyne was involved as well. Have they attacked or interfered before?
She says, no, I don't believe that they, we have not seen evidence of that.
Okay.
But if they were going to do some sort of covert activity, we would not necessarily see evidence of that.
No.
Gotcha. I mean, I know y'all were really looking forward to getting rescued by Hypodyne, but we're going to hope that we can get there first.
Both of them are kind of troubled at that. Not troubled, but, you know, they're like, okay, all right, well, I bet Pei is real happy at you.
Is that her problem?
Ray of Sunshine.
Oh, he is ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's to be imagined. There's no real problem. It's just, you know, they're trying to snag our resources, and a lot of us have given up, you know, years to decades of our life to make this happen.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, even the lowliest rock jockey on here has a high stake in the profits. You know, some people are getting 2, even 3 shares in the company.
Pretty cool. Yeah, we're going to try to get there before Hypodyne has to get involved and just make that whole headache go away for everybody.
When you said they looked disappointed, I think I misinterpreted. Were they disappointed at being rescued by us instead of Hypodyne?
No, sorry. They're disappointed in hearing that Hypodyne is coming.
I got you. That makes more sense.
Concerned.
I was just like, man, is Pei that bad?
Oh, no, but like I had totally said, because I sent a follow-up message to them after.
Yeah.
You did.
Know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You did. Yes. Sorry.
This shouldn't be a huge surprise.
It's not a surprise. They are still, you know.
Yeah, they're resigned.
Yeah, they weren't thrilled to have it.
Yeah, they're resigned. Exactly. Resigned.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So we're the better option. Got it.
Yes, you're the better option. Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. If you could even head it off and save them and not have to deal with the Hypodyne at all, that'd be great. But that's going to be hard. Dr. Dower speaks up and says, so about the situation, we're not sure what we can do to reverse it, especially since we don't even know why it happened to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be on a consistent course now. And we think that there are a number of options that we can explore with you when you get here. If we could find some way to stop the rock, your ship should be powerful enough to reverse the course through towing. It'll be slow. It'll burn a lot of fuel, but it would be possible. But first, you'd have to stop.
I think you need an Apollo 440 to stop the rock. One person kind of got that and didn't think it was funny.
Is it a wrestling thing?
Nah, it's a music group.
Oh. Okay.
I was waiting for the listeners to get it.
It's polite of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, so stopping it is the first challenge. There's a couple ways we could do that. We have the beginnings of a fusion reactor that we were going to use to provide power here.
Mm-hmm.
That could either be turned into an engine, or ejected and detonated.
I love it. Those are both fun options.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just sort of off comms, just we still have a fair amount of the resupply cargo that we were bringing, so we should probably drop that off and then start dragging as planetoids around.
Yes, yeah. That would be, yes. Probably I was going to ask Adam that, or I was going to ask all of you that, frankly. Do you want to drop the can now? Before you go to the planetoid, it will make you much faster and more maneuverable. Although you won't have the can for, you know,
can stuff.
Yeah, we're just going to be the needle.
It does kind of defeat the purpose. I feel like we'd be abandoning part of the mining mission if we did that.
No, no, absolutely not. It's entirely retrievable, and you're close to the station right now, so...
Yeah, the station can babysit it while we're...
Yeah.
Then...
It kind of sounds like a good idea to me. It sounds like if we're going to be trying to tow this rock around...
Are there supplies on there we might need to help them jury-rig stuff?
There could very well be.
Do we have the ability to move any of the stuff out of cargo into someplace on the shaft portion?
Yes. So basically, I'm going to offer a couple options here, so you're not trying to, like, you know, nickel and dime what you get what you don't get. You can either drop the whole cargo and go, or you could take essentially like 10% of the cargo with you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll delay you a little bit in the moving time. But
we'll make it back in the speed gained.
Yeah, you'll make it back in the speed gained, and you'll have access to some stuff.
Okay.
I'm a fan of
it'll be more like a scrounging type role if you need something.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm a fan of the 10%. It'll make us faster, and also we're not going to have to worry about, like, if we're going back and forth across a system and there is a ship that has missiles, I'd rather not, like, I'd rather have that be by the station, which maybe slightly more protected.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. 10% sounds good.
Sounds great.
I like the sound of having that additional maneuverability as well. That's going to make all of this worth it.
Yes, and it will make the towing much easier. Okay.
Okay.
Which is going to be hard anyway, because again, this is an almost continent-sized rock. Again, you have to stop.
We're
going to
need like two tow ropes. Just match velocity, accelerate slightly, and slowly run directly into the planet with the nose of the ship and start pushing.
There's a system of cables running all over the planet that were meant for holding the station, not holding it on exactly, but like anchor cables, which will make this easier and at all possible. Again, you have to absolutely stop it or even slightly reverse it first. I cannot stress that part enough.
I'm just imagining us, you know, piloting our spaceship with a hook hanging off the bottom and trying to catch all the cables.
It really is going to be stressful to do that. So
yeah,
we're going to need every buff we can put on that process, or this becomes a bad decision.
Going to have 30 pixie stems just right in the leg.
Really, the making good use of the fusion reactor will be the most beneficial.
Okay. Well,
at least that's Dr. Dara's stance.
All right. Sounds good.
We pack our mining version of camping gear and get rolling, I suppose.
Should we let the station know that we're doing this so that they can come and pick up our can?
They cannot pick up your can.
They cannot pick up the can. Okay.
No. First of all, they don't want to launch the shuttles because the shuttles are undefended.
Understandable.
And the shuttles don't have cargo capacity like that.
No. Okay.
I guess they could tow it back, but it would be real clumsy.
It'd be a whole pain in the ass.
That'll be the plan if we don't come back.
Yes, exactly. Frankly, the better plan is just to wait for you all to come back. And
Okay. Well, we'll let them know that we're just going to leave it here on their doorstep.
And... They're fine with that. The station has defenses.
If we explode, they get a free container. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's theirs
anyway.
The
container's theirs already.
Is the can collectible? Special edition.
No, but if you tear off the label and send it into your school, they get some papers and pens.
Nice.
That's an American education joke, because it's real bad over here.
It's not good.
Oh boy, is it.
Okay, so you're on your way. You're cruising over to the planetoid. Eventually you are able to pull it up on screen and get an actual view of it. Again, it's like a curved hemispherical section with a craggy under bottom, and it is hurtling hemisphere side forward directly out into space.
All right.
You can make out the lights of the mining station. It's a few domed buildings connected by tunnels, or like you know, constructed hard tunnels. Corridors between them.
Can we, while we're on our way, can we ask the station or the mining station to send us whatever write-ups they have on the alien ruins and anything else we don't really know about. Mostly the alien ruins, just because I think we've got an okay grasp on what Hypodyne and Yormagander are capable of, but the alien ruins are a big unknown right now.
Yep, they do that. They also send over everything they can about the ecology of the planet.
Wonderful.
Ooh. Nice.
Can I go through the ecology information?
Absolutely. The few takeaways that you have, I mean, you take away a lot more than this, but at the high level, I'll just let you know right now. It's a very weird ecosystem, as you can imagine, from a broken planet that has re-evolved life. First of all, due to the bright blue sun, the plants are all indigo to black.
Cool.
Their photosynthesis is not very efficient at all. And thus, they have very big leaves and very little body. As life is re-evolving, we're also kind of in the Cambrian, pre-Cambrian fern era.
Cool.
So we're talking like six-story ferns.
Hell yeah.
That are jet black.
Fuck, I'm moving in.
I was going to say, forget Oz, Kells is moving in. Okay.
Nope. Yeah, I was...
Got my little duffel bag.
Kells' whole jam is this kind of thing.
Yep.
I'm pretty high up there, jam-wise. Excited.
Life-wise, there's not much that's... There's really nothing that's, like, predatory or...
of course not.
of course not. Or, like, outright dangerous, hostile. There are some venomous or poisonous things that are incidentally so. You know, don't lick the space cucumber.
I remind everyone very carefully that I understand that their monkey brains means that they need to, you know, traverse the world via their mouths. Please don't eat anything on the planet.
That is true for me.
There's a few bugs and things that'll bite and sting, but none of it is too bad.
There's not like a space puma or anything.
There's zero space pumas.
Oh my God.
Breaking my heart. The largest organisms that they've found, obviously it's big. They haven't been everywhere. There could be space pumas, but like zero have been found. So
what's the largest thing they've found?
The largest thing they found is annoying. It's mosquito like, and it's about like base sized, you know, maybe 8 inches across.
What do they call those things?
Wingtip to wingtip.
Face sized. Americans will use anything to avoid.
Yeah, sorry. That was terrible of me.
I know how big a face is.
They're extremely creatively called buzzers.
Okay.
Do they technically have six legs and count as insects, or are they, you know, just exoskeletal multi-limbed?
They're exoskeletal multi-limbed. They also have like
excellent.
They have an uneven pair, a number of wings.
Ooh.
They kind of fan out, like kind of like the ornithopters in Dune.
I love a good evolutionary asymmetry.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. There's some crustacean-like things. There's nothing mammalian, and only a few things that are even close to amphibian reptilian. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. You'll find out a lot more when you get there. You also, I mean, you know more now, but I'm just not going to take you through it all.
Yeah.
We'll go through it as it becomes relevant.
That's not good radio.
More, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Have they explored those ruins at all?
A little bit. They are off limits. They were initially like freely explored by the colonists until the higher ups realized, oh, hey, maybe we shouldn't just go poking around in there. So they made them off limits except for specific expeditions to them. So that said, they've been kind of unprofessionally explored a lot and only professionally explored a little.
They ran aground on a room that has mirrors and that you can slide around and various places to shine light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for taking this long walk with me, friends.
This is a trek.
I do want to, like, as soon as we get within essentially, like, efficient landing range, at that point, I'm going to hail Hypodyne and go like, hey, thank you so much. We managed to make it without any explosions.
We're
happy
good.
To pay you for like the OT
stop volunteering to pay them.
No, I don't want them to come at us, and I'd like to pay for like the fuel that they made to go completely out of their way.
It does establish a very clear, this is what we are paying you. No, that is not the planetoid.
If I say nothing, it means they come back at me really pissed off. If I say something, even if it's small, they're like, then we're entering a negotiation.
I still think the first person to name a number loses, but, you know, do your thing. It's not my job.
They should pay us for the honor of potentially having rescued people.
So the response you get is, Roger that, Martel. We understand. We've just come a long way, though, and we do see that your people are still in a perilous situation. If you don't mind, we'd at least like to wait in the vicinity and see if we can assist if needed. It would be awful for us to have to go all the way back and just to turn around again.
Yeah.
Hope you understand.
I understand that. Could you maintain a safe radius? Obviously,
of course.
Have a fair amount of systems, proprietary systems that we don't need to, you understand.
Of course. Naturally. Whatever you consider to be a safe distance, they are half that closer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
10 astronomical units.
Riding on my dick. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Okay. But you all have arrived at the planetoid. You are actually I was joking that they're that closer. They will be that closer, but currently they are still about 12 hours out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a much faster ship than theirs, and you also didn't have to come quite as far as they did.
I figure if they start chomping, I'm just gonna sign it over to Chaz in terms of hello, I am the captain, actually stay the fuck away.
Yeah.
But I think this works for beginning negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds great. Okay, you all arrive in the orbit of the planetoid. Now, there's a couple things you could do here. You could actually land on it. Your ship is stable enough to land on something this small. You couldn't land on an actual planet.
Because there'd be too much gravity?
Yeah.
To get back off?
Yeah, you'd need boosters. Mm-hmm. Also, your ship is meant to have pressure on the inside, not on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's not strictly wrong, but it's just not meant to be that way. So you'd have to do some hull repairs and re-strengthening and stuff afterwards.
We all flash to Farnsworth, right?
Carefully manage the pressure inside the ship. And
how many atmospheres can the hull withstand? Well, it's a spaceship, so anywhere between 0 and 1.
Exactly. But yes, you could land on there if you want to, or you could stay in orbit and send down the pod.
The pod can bring our mystery vehicles with us, right?
The pod can to
and
this.
Us.
Yeah, yes.
This feels like a pod job to me.
All right. Pod job it is.
All right.
Unless Adam has a particular desire to land
as the pilot. Would we have an advantage to doing it that way?
You'd have faster access to the ship.
That is true. We wouldn't have to get back in the pod.
Like for the people on the planet.
That's true.
Smart.
Though I do think and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, if the big ship is still staying not landed, it means the ship would have more maneuverability in case Jermungandr came out of nowhere and started firing.
That's true.
Something happened with the planet and we had to get one person away.
Mm-hmm. That is all true, yes. I will say Jormungandr is much further away. It's over closer to the station. So you're further away from them now. You're pretty sure that you're safe from them out here. They're more in the first or the second asteroid belt.
Cool.
But it's still a risk, and also if the Hypodyne people get weird, you'd also be maneuverable.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have personally, I mean, I'm not the pilot, but I'd rather have guns in the sky if we have to go, if they're ooh, you in what army, and we're able to just rotate the ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is going in the pod then?
All right. Well, the captain is going to stay on the ship, and the captain can pilot.
Okay.
Cool.
So any of you can go.
I'm volunteering for the pod just because if atmosphere starts going fucky, it's not going to affect me as much.
Plus, that we can put you in the storage compartment, so we can fit the three of us in comfortably.
Right on the outside.
Just save a seat.
I am very compact.
Yeah, I'd like to go on the pod.
Yeah, I also want to be on the pod.
I mean,
pilot. There are three seats, but the pod can carry the walkers underneath, and somebody can be in a walker.
Ooh,
mm.
That's kind of what Oz wants to do.
Yeah, I suppose I'll pilot the pod then.
Okay. And do you want a fourth, fifth person?
I was going to vote for the geologist just because we're dealing with some shit down here.
Dr. Parada is pretty beat up.
Dr. Parada is the worst condition of anybody.
Okay.
How's she doing
now? What if
Parada
stays on the ship and
she's fine. She's stable. It'll be a real day or so before she's, you know, back up to sitting and walking a little.
And let's leave
her communication's open. We can always like send photos and go like, hey, like you've got eyes on what's, I mean, she's like in the sick bay or whatever, I assume. And just like watching.
And we should probably leave Babu up here. Cause it'd be good to have a security person. Am I correct in thinking that Specialist Candy is in fact very strong?
Yes.
Yes. Specialist he's a big fella. Candy.
Both of the specialists are minors, so they are both jacked.
And under 18.
Nope. It's weird that we still use pickaxes in the future, but hey. You know.
Well, you have to carry. You still have to carry stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're using a jackhammer, have you seen the muscles that jackhammer operators have?
Yeah, no, it's a lot. I vote we bring Candy, because uninjured, knows his way about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Oh, you all got hurt a little. I was going to look up healing and remember how that works.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
I'm going to try to make it canonic that someone does just, like, kick my elbow back in shape, but I figure I should roll for, like, how successful that ends up being.
There is a rule section for that.
Hell yeah.
But in the meantime, we'll...
I'm going to assume probably within the fiction that Demir has, like, nanites or something on board that sort of put them back together.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Robot repair kit.
Yes. So the way it works is if you have at least 6 hours to rest and recuperate, you get to make a body save. If successful, you heal a certain amount.
Let me see those body rolls.
Okay. Did we have 6 hours?
I'm going to say you did. Yes. So everyone's going to make a body save, but wait.
Mm-hmm.
You also have med bays.
Ooh.
So those grant advantage.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so body save, we have advantage.
Yes.
I probably spent most... I guess I have to be resting, so I can't really be doing doctoring time.
I think that you had like a good 9 hours in there to get the engines back up and running. And
so we had opportunities.
You had opportunities.
I'm going to say, can I have doctored people? There's a weird bonus to medbay stuff.
There is.
I guess that's for making the checks. Never mind.
Yes, and you don't need to do that here. This isn't so much like active doctoring.
Yeah, this is just getting downtime.
Yeah.
All right, I have a 25 in a body.
I rolled a 5.
Ooh, very nice.
Now, how much does that heal?
It heals you by the amount you succeeded by.
So the difference between this 5 and my body save?
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
I heal up because I also rolled a 5.
I rolled a 30 under 35.
I'm glad we had advantage because my first roll was 87.
Wow. Yeah, I'm all the way up. Good job. So 34 minus 5 is... 29.
Yeah, you heal 29.
I heal 5. I rolled a 30 under 35.
Okay.
So I'm at 58.
That's an interesting dynamic.
That is an interesting dynamic. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's where we're back to my comment about this being so obnoxious. My body is 40. I rolled a 39.
Oh, no.
Well, you heal 1.
Incredible!
We get your elbow going back the right way, but that is it.
And everybody used their
it's all bent up.
Their advantage and is using the better of the two rolls?
Yup! Cool. The first one was a 70.
Yeah, okay.
So, you all are heading down. Now, here's a spot where I'm going to need to know what equipment you have with you. In the ship's launch bay and main hatch, there are a bunch of, you know, those really cool sci-fi suits where it's like the tube and it's the suit in the tube with all the gear around it. And like you just pop it open and like slip into it.
Grab all our stuff.
Yeah.
Slots in the standard places. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So it's like that. And you can grab one of the kits already pre-made and you can also grab some other stuff if you want. On your character sheet are the 4 kits that come pre-packed. There's excavation, which could be very useful. It's a lot of like tools and stuff and scanners and gadgets. Exploration, which is good for more outdoorsy stuff. That could also be useful. Extermination, that's a lot of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And examination, which is doctoring and...
And doctor.
and trank pistol.
Mm-hmm. And we can each take, like, separate ones, right? Like,
it's yes, you can each take separate ones.
Per character.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the examination kit.
Great.
Okay.
I'd also like to suggest if no one actually ends up taking it personally, that we shove the exploration kit into the cargo space or under the seat or something. Yeah. Because, like,
we're
really going to miss that stuff if we need it.
But, yeah.
I was honestly going to say that I was going to take the exploration kit. So either or, I can also just take, like, another examination kit.
Sounds great.
I think taking the exploration kit would be cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will put that as a X for myself here.
Can I would like to exchange my hazard suit for a vac suit.
Yes, you all do get a vac suit.
The
in there.
Appropriate yes. suit, yes.
Technically, on this planet, you can survive, or on this planetoid, you can survive with just a hazard suit or an oxygen mask.
That's a lot to put on technically.
It's a lot to put on technically, especially since it's now facing away from the sun and you're going to get real cold real fast.
Like, technically, that was all we needed, but also technically, this planet should be by the other planets.
Over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the captain would strongly suggest a vac suit.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm probably taking the extermination suit and Earth gear in case, unless there's a reason not to, but you know.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Better over prepared than under prepared.
Yeah, those buzzers sound pretty nasty. I don't mind you having a fragrinator or two.
So we've got somebody taking the exploration suit.
Yes.
Yep.
And then I'll grab the excavation suit. I think we need somebody with that.
One of each.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of other things that you could all grab that are just kind of available that could be especially handy. There are a couple of pulse rifles and shotguns.
Oh.
You could either take a pulse rifle or a shotgun if you wanted.
I'm taking a shotgun.
There are also a couple of revolvers.
Yeah, I'll grab a shotgun.
I'll take a pulse rifle.
Sure.
Well, I don't want to not match with everyone and bring a small gun. I'll bring a pulse rifle.
Do you want a revolver?
Okay.
I feel weird about bringing a revolver when a pulse rifle is available. Like, there's no disadvantage to bringing one as far as I can tell. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You have a higher potential for collateral damage. Especially one thing that is very special to the rules in here, which I'm not sure how much I like, and we'll see how long it sticks as an actual rule. If you are armed with an automatic weapon and you do not have combat training, you empty the clip every time you fire it.
Forgot about that.
Actually, I'm going to put the pulse rifle back.
Are you going to bring the revolver?
Yeah, I will bring a revolver.
One extra nice thing about the combat shotgun, it has a an audio range finder with identify friend foe AI technology.
That's nice.
Which means you can't you literally will lock up and you can't shoot your friends.
That's great. You do.
I'm sorry. You just say AI technology, and I'm like, so I'm definitely going to kill a pedestrian. Okay.
No, not that kind of AI technology.
You two both also have military training, though, so I think you can use whatever gun you want, right?
Yes. Yeah. You two can, yes.
Oh, that is true. My rolls have been so horrific. I think I'm going to snag the combat shotgun then, though.
How many shotguns and things do we have now? Because we should...
Three?
Okay.
If I bring the pulse rifle, then we have pulse rifle, two shotguns, and then Adam, what were you bringing?
A shotgun, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure my dude can use that.
Another thing that could be useful is a rigging gun.
There's one in the exploration kit.
Yeah, I've got that in the exploration kit.
Other people could grab one as well if they wanted one. That's totally cool. Also,
what is a rigging gun?
A rigging gun is like a harpoon gun with a really long retractable cable.
Yes.
So you could use it to like haul yourself along between asteroids, or like it's actually a way that you could get back to the ship. The captain would be angry at you for poking a hole in the ship, but like in an emergency.
Yeah.
I could set up the world's coolest slack line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, slack lines can't be cool.
Wow. Come out here on this very perilous line and say that to my face.
finally, there's also the foam guns that you were using. inside the ship. Those are handy if you have to use a non-lethal way of subduing someone or something.
Yeah, I'll take a foam gun.
There's also the flamethrower and nail gun and hand welder, although those are more...
Can hand welders cut through things as well?
Hands?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also have a vibe shetty in the exploration pack, at least.
I guess I don't really know how to use it. I could bring a hand welder, but unless I can justify using military training.
Figure it out
training.
On the job. Figure it out on the job. It would technically... I don't even know if I would go for heavy machinery for it. I don't even know what skill I'd use for it.
I'm going to say, my main thing was thinking of using it. Laser cutter might be more appropriate for me to bring, actually. I was thinking about using it to cut open like doors if people are stuck inside places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Either would be great, and I don't even think I would need to make you roll for that. It would just be
Yeah, excavation comes with a laser cutter and a lockpick set for some reason.
You know, excavating people's stuff out of their locked lockers.
alien archaeology, you know, Indiana Jones style shit in space.
Stuff belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
I had a couple things on my equipment wish list I made before.
Okay.
Field recorder, which as far as I can tell is a fucking tape recorder.
Yeah. But then some. Hollow. Yeah. I would say it's a full hollow.
Okay. Full first aid kit, because it bothers me to know and the examination kit does not have one.
Weird.
And then the body cam and the HUD.
Okay. Yeah.
So when we all get separated, you can see what I'm seeing.
Sounds great.
Awesome. And luckily the exploration kit, weirdly, does have a first aid kit. So if we do get separated, maybe we should prioritize how that happens.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay.
And so are we bringing a spare rigging gun, or are we just bringing the one?
Sounds like just the one.
We've got a... Each of us have one gun slot here. Is that what we're saying? I mean, I'd happily carry a shotgun and a rigging gun.
I would say you have two. I would say you have two slots for like heavy duty stuff.
Sure. I'll do that. Rigging gun sounds useful.
Yeah. I have a shotgun and a foam gun in addition to the things that come with my extermination kit.
Sure.
Loadout.
Sounds good.
I'm just imagining like us normally going down there, and then it's like Oz and Paul, and they're holding like this whole bundle of just guns.
Mm-hmm. I also imagine that you're not necessarily carrying it on you. Some of it's tucked on the pod or next to the seat on your walker.
I'm trying to decide if I should bring a revolver in addition to the pulse rifle.
Why not?
Because I also have a trank pistol, but I also feel like the chances I'm going to end up using that are probably pretty low. I don't know. I think we're going to get eaten by the alien from aliens. So I'm not super.
Bring all the guns. This podcast has been funded by the NRA.
God.
Yeah. Okay. So you all load up and you climb in the pod. The pod connects to the two walkers.
Which have an Oz in one. And
I think Paul can pilot a walker.
Yes, Paul can definitely pilot a walker. Paul should pilot the shuttle.
Paul is driving the shuttle.
Oh, Paul Walker?
Rip.
I don't know anything about Fast and the Furious. I refuse to learn.
He passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone loved him.
So y'all are Fast and the Furious on the, you know, backrest. Uh-huh.
On the way back down. You know,
headrest TV is what we go down.
So the pod drops out. Now, riding down to a planetoid inside of a mech suit, strapped to the underside of like a teeny tiny little submarine pod thingy.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Whee! I feel like this is kind of a stressful situation a little bit.
Sure.
I think that
but it's a good stress.
The two people who are riding down are gonna get a stress.
Just get one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for the second pod slot, I'm sure as hell not going to be in it. My suggestion initially was going to be Demir, because I keep thinking that you're more durable, but I don't think that's actually true.
I'm actually not that durable, but I am very unfearful.
Well, and your body score is really high, right? Like... It's very hard to poison a robot.
Yeah, my body score is 40.
Oh, medium high. Okay, I thought it was super high.
My fear score is 85.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Do you think you'd be up for riding in the walker?
I can ride in the thing. I don't particularly care. If we lose oxygen, I am the least likely to be affected by this.
That's true.
Oh no, you run on air cooling.
You can strap me on the roof for all I care.
Okay. So you ride down, you drop the two walkers just outside the base. The base is in a pretty pretty barren area. It's not the full fern jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Although you do ride over the fern jungle, and it is unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
There are also like spindly stalk-like. They're probably mushrooms, but they're like just a single stalk that goes straight up and ends in kind of like a bulb,
like a
big pearl sort of thing at mm-hmm. the top.
Mental note to definitely have everyone keep the respirators on at all times while we're out there. Don't breathe in spores.
You know, fun.
But how will we test that they have cool hallucinogenic properties?
I was gonna say, you'll never know until you try.
Not on mycelium spore friendly podcast.
you land by the base. The whole crust is pretty flat. There's you know, like outcroppings and hills and stuff, but there are no like mountains or, and like the whole change in elevation is maybe a few hundred feet at the most, like from peak to bottom.
We've landed on North Dakota.
Yeah. Name this planet chunk Iowa.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yes. How tall are those mushroom thingies?
They poke out just above the ferns. So they like range from
6.5 stories.
No, no, that was the peak ferns I'm talking about, though. That's like the old growth, you know,
right.
Deep, dark forest ferns.
Uh-huh.
Most of them probably cap out around like 20 to 30 feet.
Okay.
So probably in the 30 foot range for the mushroom orbs.
Gotcha. Sorry.
I'm so excited. Right, forget this mining station. Let's just go explore ecology.
Yeah.
Bye. Good luck.
Yeah. So the mining pods drop, the walkers drop. The low gravity means that they even kind of bounce a little bit, which is a little unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
You set down the pod, Dr. Dara and Chief Cody and a few others are already out there to meet you all.
Cool.
Chief Cody says, welcome. You know, wish we could invite you inside and, you know, chit chat and have a little party, but I think they'll have to wait. Do you want to come inside? Is there anything you need? Or did you want to get straight to any of the sites?
Do you have any Tim Tams?
Fresh out.
It's really in the mood.
What if they're even left to live for?
I mean, should we go inside to get further briefed, or should we just head over to the first spot as soon as possible? Is there any further briefing to do?
Depends on if you have any questions. Short answer, I don't know. The ruins are that way. He points. Fusion reactor site is over there, not terribly far from the ruins. You could probably hit both in like a single day's trek if you went for it.
Y'all, I have a terrible idea.
Go on.
Two of us could work on the reactor and two of us could explore the ruins.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah, splitting up is a great way to divide up and, you know, get more done.
Yeah.
It's very efficient.
Uh-huh. I do definitely want to prioritize the fusion reactor for myself, at least.
I agree with that. I don't see an in-character reason to really poke around the ruins right now. That seems like let's do that after we, you know, solve the emergency. But out of character, I'm fascinated by the ruins. Of course I want to go over there.
Well, the ruins could be the source of the problem, right?
That's what Chief Cody says.
Mm. Again, not to throw anything
out. He saw an old Earth TV show about how aliens know what's going on inside ancient technology.
Right. So as I was saying,
the fusion reactor hasn't been like shooken up like a soda bottle.
You know, let's maybe make for the fusion reactor. And then if we get there and there's nothing to do for everybody, we can branch out or we can.
Fine.
Follow maybe up. I'll learn how to fix it by the time I get there.
Could be.
Get to reading, buddy.
Actually, you will. You're going to level up after this one.
Fucking YouTube video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fusion reactors for dummies.
All right. Fusion reactor it is. Chief Cody offers to come with you.
Absolutely.
Show you around.
Yeah.
You know how it works. All right. Anything else before you head out?
Do they have like buggies we can use? Or are we going to be hopping around in our little pod or?
They do have mining crawlers. They don't have any buggies. Your pod and the walkers are the easiest way to get over there.
Okay.
Or just frankly, walking is not a terrible way to get around. With the microgravity, it's like the moon. Mm. Like a small hop and you're 20 feet down the road.
Mm-hmm. And there's not even any hills.
Yeah. If he was going to go out right now, he'd probably just walk it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's just walk it.
Let's just walk it. Do we want to bring our walkers and stuff just so we have them?
Yeah, that would probably be good.
Okay.
Because they can keep pace with a human and not get ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He tells his people to head back inside and hunker down. And he joins you.
So what have you all been working on while we were on our way here?
Frankly, we've been hunkered down and most people who got hurt are recuperating.
Okay.
I'm on the better side. He holds up a wrist in a brace.
Mm.
Most people got pretty badly hurt. Suddenly changing course and moving 300 miles an hour in the wrong direction.
That'll get you every time.
Yeah.
He did say that everyone was stable, though. Like, they don't need medical attention.
Everyone that they found is stable.
Okay.
Are we still missing about 10 people from your headcount?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have any idea where those people might be?
No.
Okay.
Frankly, his best bet is either they got squished up against another rock on the way out, or the first movement, they lost their balance out on the surface and are now out in space somewhere.
Took an unscheduled trip, too.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Because if you're inside, you have a wall to prevent you from shooting in the wrong direction real fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find them and they'll definitely be fine and not changed by the environment in any way.
Sure.
That's entirely possible.
Uh-huh. They'll be okay.
Yep.
Walk it off.
All right. So you all start making the trek?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You pass a lot of fascinating flora and fauna.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the plants are exaggerated in size. Mm-hmm. So we have moss that you are walking through that is hip deep.
Cool.
Hip deep moss. There's a joke in there.
Yeah, I know. I'm off.
There's the ferns that I've mentioned. That's the most. That's the dominant plant,
mm-hmm.
Especially because they kind of choke out everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Doms like to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just. This is. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, are there any goalies full of ferns?
All right, we're done here. We'll wrap it up here. Thank you all for listening.
My joke was that bad.
It was just one after the other.
We all just get hit with an asteroid.
There are things akin to space sea cucumbers. Those are very common. There are trilobite like things.
Yeah.
To adopt one.
There are also what we would normally think of as microscopic organisms that are
macroscopic. Hell yeah.
So, you know, that's a bacteria. It has cilia around it.
Oh my God.
Like I can see it moving.
Just are gently like extending its pseudopod at you.
Yeah.
Is when you say that, am I picturing something, you know, the size of an M&M, the size of a Malamute? Like where are we?
Hand M&M. Size, an M&M. Tardigrades. Hand size tardigrades.
Definitely horse size tardigrades. Horse size tardigrades.
No horse size tardigrades.
Darn it.
You are not allowed to ride the tardigrade.
There are, however, building size tardigrades. There's just a gap in the niche.
Put a kid on a tardigrade.
A lot of it, though, unfortunately, with it now facing away from the sun for a couple of days.
Ooh, yeah.
It's not so good.
There's some minor ecological collapse starting to happen.
Yeah. That'll do it.
It's getting a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't, like, stuff hasn't really started to die off yet, exactly, but it's
getting hungry.
It's getting real hungry, and it's getting up there.
Yep.
I mean, technically, if this stuff is already dying because of, like, its own, like, planetary fuckery, I feel like that's a good statement to go, well, maybe we should terraform this to Jormungandr. It's not like we fucked it up, and it is now kind of dead.
I think this ecosystem was pretty stable
before it left its designated location.
Can't prove we didn't do this.
Can't prove you didn't.
Yeah.
It's an act of God, our insurance doesn't cover.
Yeah, if it's an act of God, like, why not terraform it? All right, or do whatever.
Also, we should make little sweaters for the trilobites. Because yeah. I think it would be cute.
They look cold.
Please let this be an in-character comment that Lachlan...
Unfortunately, that is not what Dr. Ray is like at all.
No, I didn't get that. Didn't get that vibe. I mentioned there's barnacle sort of things that are like bony domed shaped eyes that are looking out at you from the rocks that are a little creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of insects, especially flying ones. Mm-hmm. Although they're really bad at flying, that doesn't seem to have been perfected yet in evolution here.
Sort of just flinging themselves.
More like hopping and flapping real hard.
Yeah, I mean, kind of thin atmosphere here, right? And microgravity.
Yes, definitely a thin atmosphere here,
maneuvering
too, yes.
This hard.
Yeah.
So it's just like early spore here.
There's also...
the planet crashes.
geothermal vents. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of them, actually.
Ooh. Yes.
Built our Subnautica base right here.
The life naturally tends to be more dense there.
Yeah. Because there's heat. Energy.
There's energy, there's extra moisture in the air, thicker air, that sort of thing.
I imagine there's a lot of things there right now.
Yeah, they're getting quite crowded, like the watering hole in the savannah.
Build cool. Little stadium bleachers, fit everybody. Yeah.
And eventually you arrive at the site for the fusion reactor.
Nice.
It's a DIY one, you know, it's kind of the one that you built out of a rocket engine that has been decommissioned.
We all did that as cool. Kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, I love DIY fusion reactors.
Yeah, this fills me with so much confidence.
It's like a one-story above-ground pool-looking sort of thing with, like, pipes and wires and stuff coming out of the sides of it. Now, you can kind of put a roof on it and turn it into a reactor, or you can rip the roof off and turn it into an engine, and it's sort of the same thing.
Wonderful. Love that versatility. Yeah.
It's very space redneck. Redneck chic.
Hell yeah.
I'm so concerned for when the whatever's running the like magnetic bottle for all the plasma gives out.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Figure that, you know, humanity has been doing this kind of stuff for 150 years.
Humanity's done a lot of dumb shit for hundreds of years.
it's all you know how to do it by the back of your hand, though. Like Adam's character, fusion engineering was covered in, you know, like trade school.
Yeah. The standards just keep increasing as manufacturing improves.
The question is, was Paul awake that day?
It's a double-edged sword, though, because then you get the compatibility issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not very backwards compatible these days.
Oh no, this fusion reactor runs on a serial connector.
Okay, so you all are there, and there's a fusion reactor in front of you, and Chief Cody starts showing you around.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it right now, is it pointed direction we would need it to point to get this thing back sort of in its...
Actually, it is, right? Yeah. Kind of. It's a little to the side.
Okay.
You would need to figure out a way to like adjust the angle of it, but that's more of just a tinkering thing.
Okay.
Just get some 2x4s, you know, wedge them in there.
It's more of a roll sort of thing than you all figuring out how to do it in real life.
Awesome. Okay.
Because that would be boring and bad audio.
Yeah.
But you're here. You're starting to get to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Demir.
Oh no.
You're like, you know, poking around the perimeter of the area.
Yeah.
And you hear what sounds like a lot of bubble wrap popping.
Okay.
Or like a clicking sound.
Okay. I think for one, like I just like immediately like stop moving, and then I do also like send, if is there a way for me to send a comms message to the rest of the group without talking?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just going to let them know, like here's my exact coordinates. I just heard something move. I'm going to check it out, but like here's my information.
Sure. Oh, I mean they're all right around you. You're just closest to this.
Oh, okay.
Then like people can see you and stuff. It's not like you wandered off.
Oh, thank God.
I wouldn't do that. without a roll or without your
space hawk swoops down and grabs you. And
yeah, which just splits the party for us.
No, I'm not doing that. No. You're just like, you know, 10 feet away from the main group,
okay,
looking at you know, a funky rock.
Excellent. In that case, I am gonna like look around a little bit. I know that exploration has a survey kit. Does that help me with this at all? Or
no, I don't think you need that sort of thing. It does have a life scanner, though.
Does it? Mm-hmm. Life scanner. I know I've seen.
No, that's excavation. The bioscanner.
There we go.
Why is that an excavation? Not a whatever.
Weird.
Some of these, like the
yeah, there's some choices in here.
Like
some random.
Well, we got one of each. We can trade around.
And I do have like I do have an emphasis in biology as well too. So I'm kind of
sure
that'll help me a bit.
Yeah. So you're poking around a little bit to see what's making the noise.
Yeah.
And you see a cluster colony of those barnacles.
Interesting.
And one of the barnacles is wiggling.
Interesting. Well, I'm not going to touch it. Does it appear to be interacting with the like the fusion reactor structure or anything?
No, it's not near that. No.
Perfect. So it's just sort of like on its own. I think I'm gonna like continue to watch it and maybe like start no, I probably don't have a recorder or anything.
I do. Also, I'm a biologist and not someone who knows how to fix a fusion reactor.
Hey, incredible! I'm going to ping Lachlan and go like, hey, check this out, keep your distance, but...
Okay, so you all are watching this barnacle. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's, I mean, at a best, make a biology roll.
Can we both make a biology roll?
Sure.
And I have like my field recorder out and my med scanner, which sure. I think does some of the bioscanner stuff, and yeah.
Okay.
I get a 3.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
God.
Pretty solid.
I can't wait for my luck to give out as soon as we are attacked.
Yeah. So it seems to be an extreme distress. You would imagine that it's probably from the cold and the lack of light and dwindling nutrients. That's a really high success. It's not a critical success, but I'm still counting it like better than average just because it's so low. Mm-hmm. That's not how the system's built, but whatever.
It's how the story's built.
Exactly. Thank you. So you're looking at it, and yeah, you think it's probably cold. It's probably that. You also notice that a really interesting feature of the barnacles is that they seem to feed like off of nearby like plant matter,
mm-hmm.
And in the process, they kind of like ossify it. Like it almost turns to like bone,
ooh,
just like a calcium.
Kind of like coral.
Oh,
yeah, like cool. Coral or even like a petrified version of whatever plant they just ate.
Neat.
Definitely don't touch this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. After a few moments of wiggling, it pops off the rock.
I knew it.
And lands on the ground.
Does it start heading toward one of us?
And kind of rolls around for a second.
I back up.
The underside of it is a very very long rib cage that was clearly anchoring it to the mossy rock.
Don't care for that.
And like the ribs weirdly protrude from the actual like main structure of it, like the exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And after a second there, it kind of wiggles the ribs,
mm-hmm,
and then rolls around and starts skittering around on them a little bit.
I back up further. Ooh. To make sure Demir is the closer thing.
Yeah, I'm like, Demir is like pizza delivery man style holding you back with one arm, just sort of like, nope, you're back. And
oh,
you're back.
I fucking am further back than that.
God, yes, we are team, not with the humans, yeah, get touched by the barnacle.
You're like, stay back, and I'm like 30 feet behind you being like, okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. It looks around a little bit. You don't know if it's looking because you don't see,
sure,
like really.
But like it pauses and twitches a bit.
Exactly. It pauses and twitches sensing a bit. And then absolutely ignores the plastic android and heads towards the closest flesh and blood human.
Do I have a shot at it?
I take advantage of microgravity to launch myself backwards.
Absolutely. We'll handle all that next time.
Oh.
Oh,
I was preparing myself to kick it.
We brought all these guns.
I was just happy I remembered we were in microgravity and that I can actually dodge back 50 feet.
If it's ignoring me, it probably doesn't want to eat anything that I'm made of.
Not yet. Give it time. Xeno Attribute is a Primary Attribute spinoff. It has been brought to you by the people you just heard. Visit us at primaryattribute.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. Mothership is by Tuesday Night Games. Logo by Adam, editing by Wit. Thank you all for listening.
With special guest star Radar the Cat as Campbell the Cat. Theme music is Igni by Scott Buckley, released under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. Check out his work at scottbuckley.com.au. We'll see you next time on Xeno Attribute.
Okay.
My door is closed and I'm not seeing my thing light up, though.
It's not loud enough to cause the thing to light up, but it is detectable.
I have no way of adjusting this.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It'll be fine. We'll just be aware when you talk.
Yeah. I don't hear anything.
It's gone now, yeah.
We will encase you in soundproof foam every recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do the blanket thing.
Yeah.
Get cocooned.
No, too easy. This is going to be spray foam. Just going to make a dome. No air holes. So,
make you a little burrow in which to pupate like a cicada.
That's fun. That's a fun idea.
Yeah, it's great for podcasting.
One episode every 17 years.
Yeah.